Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. I'm Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, and this morning I will be here by myself, which is, I think, an interesting thing regarding one of the things that we always talk about in yoga is being sensitive enough to hear the call, but also strong enough to walk a solitary path. Being here in the studio by myself is somewhat different than if Lisa or Tony were here and talking, you know, here by myself is a completely different experience. And what I'll try and do is I'll try and keep the show together. One of the things that I do notice is we do have some questions here that will help me stay on track. But the topic today is that we're going to talk about labor, the economy, and Kriya Yoga with the divine. And the word labor in and of itself I find to be very interesting, even though I have direct experience with labor with regard to the fact that I am a steam fitter, a Union steam fitter, local 638, New York City, by trade. And some of the people are always asking me, you know, like, what does steam fitting have to do with yoga? And one of the things that I did find was that fusion of metal and fusion of consciousness were very similar in that they both have very strict procedures. They both have practices that are designed to do something. And so with regard to the concept of labor and hard work, and even the term, because one of the questions that came in today regarding this particular show is there a correlation with our Labor Day and the labors of Hercules? Because the use of the word labor, and when you look it up in the dictionary, can mean a couple of different things. One of the things that it means is it is hard work, toil. And the other thing is that it is referred to the people who do this type of work, almost like as a class or organization. And then the other use of the word, that it is the period of contractions leading to childbirth. Because the labors of Hercules, I think, are a very strict representation of all of those uses of the word. It is the importance of hard work. It is the importance of understanding that there is something that we must do. But also the whole concept of giving birth to something new and something different. The whole concept of transformation. And the term that we use here is the whole thing of rebirthing our bodies in a different source of sustenance, that there is actually this type of conversion that's going on, that we're going from using one source of sustenance and changing our resource. And that's the physics of spirituality that we are constantly making reference to. And what the labors of Hercules kind of gives us insights into is that there are things that we are going to have to do in order to make this happen. And the other thing is just like in childbirth, you know, that there's going to be some changes that will be very apparent and evident. You know, that the whole thing of becoming spiritual, becoming divine, does have an evidence procedure. And just like the trauma that we went through with our first birth, you know, like if you really think about, you know, here you are in the womb and you're in this utopitarian environment where everything is provided for you. And the next thing you know, you're catapulted out and you're thrown into the light and now you're forced to breathe air on your own. And it's very traumatic for us physically. Now, this concept of transformation, this concept of this conversion of now shifting again from one environment to another is going to be equally as traumatic. And that's why it's not for everybody. And that's why the labors of Hercules is such an important description of the evidence procedure that is associated with growing psychologically and spiritually. And again, these are some of the things that, you know, we employ in our teachings here. But what does that have to do with, you know, a fair day's work for a fair day's pay? You know, right livelihood. And the whole concept of economics. Because in this model, we really focus on what we call a resource-based economy. That our original pattern that we incarnate in with is that we look for food, we look for mother, we look for approval, for validation. We're looking for something that's tangible. And now what we have to consciously and willfully do is we have to separate from our attachment to that source of sustenance and reconnect to something that's invisible and intangible. And what that you're going to find is that in order to do that, you're going to need procedure. You're going to need a plan. Just like what I learned in the building trades. You know, when you show up to a job, oftentimes, you know, sometimes it's just a hole in the ground. And then through your efforts, you're going to take all of these raw materials and you're going to put that together and create this building that has all of this mechanical capability, your ability to, you know, keep out the external environment, how to sustain a certain comfortable internal environment. And, you know, also provide, you know, things like lighting and changes in temperature. All of these mechanical systems and how they all work together. That's what I associate the concept of labor with. You know, skilled craftsmanship. And being able to do something. And that's what Kriya Yoga is. Kriya Yoga is instruction to do something. It's not just about knowing and it's not just about doing. And it's not about knowing and doing, but it's all about knowing and doing with devotion. See, the concept of a resource-based economy becomes the platform for greater human potential. But it also becomes the secret to life, to be able to do something with technique, to be able to do things with the benefit of internal support. That's what Kriya Yoga is all about. And that's what labor is all about. You know, hard work is an important part of this practice, and it's an important part of the process of human development. And again, it's not just about doing, but it's about knowing and doing. And it's being able to do things based on procedure. You know, because even in the building trades, I mean, you can have a hard worker. Say, for example, a carpenter, you know, who never misses any time, hardest worker in the crew, knows how to use every tool in the shed. Every time they cut a board and, you know, measure it and cut it, it's perfect. Every time they cut an angle, it's perfect. They put it up, it's plumb, level, and square. But the carpenter does not understand building specifications, doesn't understand that studs have to be 16 inches on center. And, you know, this particular carpenter is putting them 48 inches on center. So even though you have all of this talent and all of this ability, the outcome is inferior because when we put the second floor on the building, it collapses. Why? And again, with regard to growing psychologically and spiritually, it's not just about doing. It's about knowing and doing. But then the other thing and the important part of this practice and this process is the whole thing of being able to make a clear distinction between your monetary-based economy and your resource-based economy. Because the intention of the practice of yoga is to establish your sense of well-being based on the forces that are really important to you. Using what you need to produce the feeling that you're happy gives you a platform that you can live by. It gives you an anchor so that now your efforts will have intention. With this connection comes this sense of purpose. And again, you know, these are things that are really important in human development. But it's not going to happen by itself. And we are going to have to make it happen. And we're going to need a game plan. Just like fusion of metal and fusion of consciousness. You know, that there's a lot of things that have to be in place before we can rebirth our bodies in this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And there are a lot of things we have to know because we're going to come up against forces that if we do not have the techniques and if we do not have the understanding of how to utilize those forces, then it will undermine and oftentimes prevent you from doing what it is that you're trying to do. Now, at this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a little break and have a word from our sponsor. And then when we come back, there are some questions, you know, regarding this subject that I would like to answer. So be patient, and I will be back with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Series 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
Now, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos, a cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it.
Kriya Yoga Mantra and Meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student.
Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Apurna Maria, Purna Meva Vashishate.
Welcome back, and you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. I'm Kenny Toy, and also known as Swami Jayananda, and at this time now, what we're going to do is we're going to go over some of the questions. The first question that I have here is, since we all have to work to sustain ourselves, how can we support ourselves with the resource-based economy? Yeah, the whole thing about the importance of the resource-based economy is, I kind of like what Jesus said in the Bible. Jesus said something to the effect that, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. You know, part of this yoga practice, part of this yoga process is we have to divide and conquer. We have to compartmentalize things. And we have to understand that there are different forces, there are different dimensions of our makeup, and each of them requires a certain amount of attention. Now, the importance of your resource-based economy is to establish your sense of self, that it's your relationship with the forces that are really important to you that give you a sense of self that will start to grow in a positive direction. A big part of the problem with the world today is that we are still drawing from our monetary-based economy. We are still drawing from the realms of duality, the tangible aspects of reality, without the benefit of this internal connection. Now, because you become spiritual doesn't mean you're not going to have to work and support yourself. What it means is that you will do it at a different level of consciousness, you will do it at a different degree of awareness, and you will do it with a sense of enthusiasm, as opposed to when you try and support yourself without the benefit of this internal connection. So, you know, even though intellectually, nobody can dispute the importance of, say, for example, air. But most people will tell you, well, you can't live on air alone. Well, I know that. But the problems break down is when we put a lesser god in a position of importance of a greater god. So in other words, when money becomes more important than your next breath is when you're upside down in your life. That's when things start to break down. That's when you start to have problems. So being spiritual doesn't mean that you're not going to work, but it means that your sense of self is not going to be solely dependent upon your economic status, your financial fitness. All right, the next question is, what steps must we take to make the changes on our communities? All right, again, one of the things that we're always talking about here is you want to act locally before you start to act globally. And what we talk about here is you want to get the light in your soul. See, when you separate from your dependency upon the outside world, your resource-based economy becomes your source of sustenance, then your contribution to the greater whole has a completely different dynamic. See, when we're drawing from the outside world, we're siphoning off, and we're drawing from a source of sustenance that is very limiting. And it produces this insatiable crave or need for validation. when you have the benefit of the light in the soul, you when you rebirth your body in the life force, then you have the benefit of a connection to an inexhaustible resource. So now you're able to give out without any need for a return. So your exchange of energy is very different. The next question, if you are not fiscally fit, how can one make the leap to the resource-based economy? Well, that's an important dynamic because that's one of the things that I often find that most people do is that they first think that they have to be financially fit before they can start their spiritual endeavor. When in fact, you're doing it backwards. You know, the simple fact that if you don't have, I want to say, financial independence, then you will continue to look for external reinforcement to create this sense of well-being. Now, in order to be connected to your resource-based economy, that's a much simpler adjustment. You know, granted there is a procedure, granted there are things that you have to do, but none of them are expensive or, in fact, should cost you anything. The changes that have to take place is that you have to change how you think. You have to change, oftentimes, how you're breathing. You have to change what you're drinking, what you're eating, and how you're exercising. All of which, what you will find, is not something that's going to cost you more money because most of the changes you're going to make will eliminate a lot of the things that are costing you money now. You know, by purifying your body and giving up things like caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, and refined sugars, look at what you just did for yourself financially, especially when you look at the expense that most people, you know, encounter as a result of all of these bad habits that they've developed. Now, granted, most of us are under the misconception that we think that being spiritual means that you are depriving yourself of all of the benefits that we think we're getting from all of these unnecessary addictions and dependencies, where in fact it is 180 degrees from that. Being spiritual is not deprivation. You're not depriving yourself. What you're doing is you are changing what it is that you're using to validate yourself. That's a really important distinction to make. And that's why the change has to go deep enough. I love what C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity when he talked about what natural man does not have is spiritual life. We call them both life, but they're both very different, as different as a photograph is from a location or a statue is from a person. And in order for natural man to become spiritual, they would have to undergo a transformation that would be the equivalent of changing a photograph into a location or a statue into a person. You know, that there is a lot that we have to do. But a big part of what we have to do is we have to purify our bodies and prepare it and become addicted to what we really do need. Now, once we have this internal connection, then the benefits will start to reveal themselves. And then looking for a job or creating your life becomes much easier in the same way that we talked about in one of the shows. Trying to cut a tree down with a chainsaw without starting it up is a Herculean task. But once you learn how to start that saw up, getting a tree down oftentimes is just routine. And that's why you don't have to be fiscally fit to make this internal connection. In fact, that's where you want to put your efforts, is get this resource-based economy. Now, the next question here is there any mythological or is there any mythology or lessons we can learn from our Labor Day? Yeah, I think the importance of hard work, the importance of learning how to do something, learning a procedure, learning cause and effect is of the utmost importance, because that's what being spiritual is going to translate into. Going from knowing to doing with this sense of devotion. Okay, now the next question here is, children are so socially stinted now because of their technology, use of phones. They don't have the drive to work early like in earlier times. Kids were working in the fields, etc. Kids don't seem to be getting jobs until after high school or even college. Does this have an effect on us locally or even globally with our collective spiritual human development? Now, the answer is yes, it does. That's the physics of everything. The thing that we have to recognize is that it's not just the children. All of us have become so insulated from our natural environment that we're removed from a life that would be much more industrious if we didn't have all of these conveniences that we have today. But because we have them, you know, we also have put in place things like soccer. You know, we've put things in place like the gym that kind of help us develop, you know, an activity level that would be conducive for, you know, undertaking the labors and the tasks of personal development. Because that is one of the things that you're going to learn, is your level of fitness is going to be directly in sync with your mental functions. That, you know, a sound body will produce a sound mind. And again, that's one of the reasons, you know, it's not the fault of our children, but it's really the fault of our leadership, is that we haven't recognized the importance of hard work. We haven't recognized the importance of depleting ourselves and putting in, you know, what we'll call conscious effort in development. And so with that, you know, at this time I'd like to start closing the show, and I would like to thank the listeners for joining in. And next week, I think we're going to talk a little bit about the aftermath of the full moon in Pisces, because the full moon will be on September 8th and the show will be on the 10th. So we'll kind of go over a little bit of the aspect that particular chart will demonstrate, and if I could, I would like to invite, you know, our listeners to join, you know, our spiritual advance, you know, to check our website, to keep sending, you know, emails and questions and comments. We do enjoy hearing them. And, you know, I would like to wish everybody a Kriya Yoga kind of day in memory of having Lisa maybe back next week. And I would wish everybody a Namaste.